Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Belleville Church. I think we still have people that are parking on Route 206 and walking down here at this point. I think we're testing the capacity of this room, but praise God that we're here and Jacob touched so many lives. And I just want to welcome you this afternoon as we spend some time celebrating the life of Jacob de Groot. And that is the emphasis this afternoon. It's a celebration of life. We hope you've had the opportunity to look at some of the pictures that the family has put together in the back. And if not, please do so after the service as we enjoy a time of fellowship and refreshments together. Also, just want to make note that the restrooms can be reached by entering the door on the left-hand side right before the exit if you need to use the bathroom. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a celebration of life. Many have been impacted by Jacob's life, and we look forward to hearing those memories later in our service. But let me begin by saying that on behalf of Belleville Church, our deepest sympathies for the entire de Groot family. We hope that this service and the time spent this afternoon will be a source of comfort and encouragement, knowing how much of a blessing Jacob is to us all. And when I had spoke with Lydia about the service, she had mentioned a few things that she was hoping for and things that Jacob loved, songs that he loved to sing, which we'll be singing together, some scripture that he loved, a time of sharing, but also that it's Christ-centered. It's focused on Jesus. And so we're also excited for that. So I'd like to just open our time in this celebration of life with prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we do thank you for each and every person that you've brought here today. Lord, we thank you for the life of Jacob de Groot. We thank you that we can come here this afternoon to be able to share memories, to be able to encourage and come alongside one another in this community. And Lord, we just do pray for the de Groot family, especially during this time, that you would strengthen them and comfort them. Lord, we are thankful for the promises in your word. We're thankful, Lord, that Jacob is with you, and Lord, that we can trust that you fulfill all your promises. We just pray that you would be honored and glorified in this service and this time together. In Christ's name we pray, amen. At this time, I would like to invite up Debbie and Marianne, as they have a scripture reading they're going to be sharing.
Jacob taught all of us to have hope, as the song just said. He knew his Lord and Savior was with him always, and he did not hesitate to share his faith with all those who have ears to hear and hearts that are open to the truth. Jacob always had hope. Some of his earthly dreams, though, may have included being a little bit more like Hulk Hogan. But his true hope was to be a little more like Jesus. Lydia, you chose so well this passage from Isaiah as we gather together with tears and laughter to celebrate Jacob's life on earth and his everlasting life with our Lord and Savior. Amen.
So our scripture reading is taken from Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
At this time, we're going to have a time of sharing from family and friends. So I'd like to invite up Lydia to be the first to share.
have to take a breath. I want to thank everybody for coming here today, and not only being here, but the messages, the phone calls, the pictures that were shared, and Lord knows we all have a lot of stories about that young man. He was a rascal, and when he had a bone to pick with you, he could get really mad. And I always have to remind him, I say, Jacob, I know you're mad at me, but who lives in your heart? Jesus, Mom. And then a couple minutes later, he'd come back to me and say, I'm sorry, Mom. And I said, it's okay, I'm sorry too. But I'm going to be honest in that I am heartbroken. But I'm not broken. With the depth of my soul and conviction of my heart and every strength of my being, it is well with my soul. My Jacob's in heaven with the Lord. There's no pain. He's not suffering. He's not taking five steps and he can't breathe. He was a gift from God from before he was even born. And the Lord had his hand on him his entire life. And his purpose, God's purpose for him, was to spread love. And in his last few years, he shared Jesus with people that he loved and cared about, which is his community, everybody around him. I could not go anywhere in Sussex County and people not know him. It'd take me an extra hour to get out of Weiss or Walmart, let alone ShopRite. I loved him with every ounce of my being. And that young man, who I was privileged to call son, made me a better person. And I will forever be grateful for that. But I've seen how he's helped other people and given other people love and showed them friendship. He didn't care if you were tall, short, skinny, fat. He loved everybody. And he would randomly go up to people in the store and say, hi, my name's Jacob. And I'm going, oh my God. And he'd introduce himself and he'd say, can I hug you? And again, I'm doing this. And they would say, sure. And then the person would say, oh, I was feeling so sad, or I was feeling depressed about something. He just made my day. And even on his worst days, he made my days the best too. One particular memory I have recently was after he had started at SCARC, there was a peer there named Ed, and his disability was autism, and he wasn't very social. He would just people watch. And Jacob and him kind of clashed heads, and but lo and behold, the common ground they found was WWE. So Jacob found a way to engage this young man, and they became friends. And we were in Weiss shopping, and I hear Jacob go, Ed! And he bolted across the aisle. Now, when Jacob wanted to move fast, he could run like a ninja. Just saying. And again, I'm like, ooh, what's going to happen? You know, and he went up, hey, Ed, gives him a big hug. Jake, go figure. But he had a special way of showing people the best parts of themselves and to share it with him and to share it with others. Luann, God bless her, came today. She runs the Eichmann Center with a beautiful card signed Ed right in the middle. And it says, cherished forever. Jacob's in the heart. She wanted to speak, and I told her she felt she couldn't, and I told her I would read what she wanted to say for her. Jacob had a smile that so many of us remember. It was the kind of smile that made you feel instantly welcome. It came from his heart. I can remember meeting Jacob and Lydia at the open house and telling my director and the other supervisors, he is mine. I am so happy that Jacob chose Eichmann to attend. I cannot imagine not having had him in my life. He taught us lessons and showed what resilience looks like when things are difficult. He showed us life is not defined by limitations, but by the love and kindness we show during these times. The truth is, the world can sometimes measure people by what they can and cannot do, but those who were fortunate enough to know Jacob understood something deeper. We knew his strength, his humor, and his heart made him bigger than life. People were drawn to him because his spirit was genuine. Though we feel the weight of his absence today, we also carry something beautiful forward, the memory of that smile, the sound of that laughter, and the lessons he taught us simply by being himself. Let us honor him by living a life full of courage and kindness, and with a smile that refuses to disappear even when life gets hard. I will carry you in my heart, Luann. I know Jacob is in heaven, and I know he's sitting with friends that he lost and family that he lost, and he's doing the YMCA up there. I thank you all for coming. I thank you for your love and your support for our family. And I know Jacob is going, yes! Thank you.
Well, we wanted to have some time for others to be able to share a memory that they'd like to share with the family. So at this time, if there's anyone that would like to share, if you would come forward and just speak into the microphone. We are recording our service for family that couldn't be here, and for friends as well. So, but if you'd like to come up and share a memory with the family, or the family would like to come up and share at this time.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Autumn. I had the honor of being Jacob's cousin. We grew up together. We have so many wonderful family memories. We were fortunate enough to have a lake house that Jacob loved. We couldn't get him out of the water. He wanted to spend just about every second he could. My husband and I recently got married, and I remember the dance floor at one point, everybody's crowding around, and it was one of two people that I knew were in the middle of that dance circle. And of course it was Jacob, and he just had a way of bringing people. He had this magnetism about him that I'm sure everyone in this room has felt. And it was one of the greatest joys to stand on, you know, the side at our wedding, and for him to have that moment, and for me to replay that in my head since I heard the news. We've all been replaying our best memories of him. He had an incredible laugh. He had two laughs. He had his genuine laugh where he was laughing at others. And then he had his diabolical laugh that knew it was either he was doing something he shouldn't have been, or he was doing something that we all found, you know, hilarious, and you know, we'll cherish that forever. And I'm just so glad that we're all here and we can share in all of these memories together.
Thank
Yeah, look at all the people he touched. For all of you, I'm Uncle Ernie. I got to be able to be that to Jacob. I don't even want to use past tense, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how you come up and follow up your strength, Lydia, to look out at all these people and be in testimony of who Jacob was and what he meant to everybody. I'd like to share one moment. It was a planned family, again, back to what my daughter had said. We have a place that's by a ski area. Well, we did a massive day. He's chuckling, Luke's chuckling, Dave's chuckling. So we get the boys up and we're gonna teach them how to ski that day. And we had a plan. You know, I made special arrangements to have instructors for David and Luke, and the day began, and I was a newly registered instructor there at Elk, and I had all of my peers standing there on the hill, and so the first navigation is, let's get Jacob through the rental thing, and that was an ordeal. How much fun did we have doing that? Finding boots, him looking at the boots going, what? You want me to do what? Well, to get to the point, we get him out on the snow and he's looking at me and I'm trying to navigate what's next for Jacob. Well, Jacob wanted nothing to do with skiing. But what Jacob wanted to do was he wanted to ride the lift. You know, and all along I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've got all of these eyes upon me and I've got a plan and I'm the instructor. Well, I'm not sure who taught who that day, but I kind of want to think that we both learned a little. So what we did, you know, I kept telling Jacob, you got to learn to walk before you fly. Come on, Jacob, we're gonna learn how to ski. And he, again, wanted nothing to do with it. So we packed our bags and we got on the lift and up we went. And all the ride, this little slow chairlift, I'm thinking to myself, what am I gonna do when I get to the top? Well, he has no idea what he's doing. And so I muster my strength and I get him off the lift and we turn the corner and he did this. And the skis went off, and there I am at the top of the hill, and short of the story is it's me and Jacob just rolling down the hill. And you know, back to, I was supposed to be the instructor. I had the fancy jacket, and I had, but that wasn't the plan for that day, was it, Luke? And that's just a special memory I have. There's so many of them. But I think what I'm going to carry with me is similar to part of what I spoke at my daughter's wedding, is I've been honored to have nicknames, and Uncle Ernie is certainly one that I'm going to hold dear. And Jacob had that other side. And I've also been called Poo Poo Head. I hope that gave everybody some laughter, but God, I loved him, and we all did.
I got you. All right. Hey, everybody. Everybody is kind of our side of the family, but I'm the big cousin Austin for David and Jacob. I'm also the little cousin to Luke, even though I'm bigger than all of them. But Jake made me feel small in every word of the sense. He made me feel home. Like, he, no matter the SCARC walks that I did for when I was at Pope John, like, he was always involved. I remember those days, you know, like, I'd walk along with him. The fact that he just wanted to wear my number on the football team, gah. But one of my favorite stories that we always tell is when we're trying to take that damn porch step photo. If anybody doesn't know, I don't know if the pictures are back there, but there is a series of photos that, as you go through them, it is just funnier and funnier. And Jacob, everybody knows this, once somebody starts doing something mischievous, he takes it to the next step, like the next 10 steps. So we're all trying to just take a photo, and you are just probably getting ready to wrangle our necks. And Jacob is just continuing to egg everybody on, and it is the funniest thing probably I'll ever experience. But we're all taking photos. Jacob's holding a foam sword and hitting his head with it. And my poor sister is in tears trying to just hold herself together. Jacob is just screaming above the world. Lydia is yelling at, what? Oh, she was laughing so hard she was in tears. Yeah, sorry. And Lydia is yelling at Luke and basically saying, I'm going to boil you alive if you don't get it together. But we couldn't do it. We could not get ourselves to settle to take one damn photo. But it's just the funniest thing is I remember Jacob sitting like right next to me, and I could just hear his laugh, and I could see everybody just feel the laughter. And that was every moment with Jake. Like, it was just something was always funny, whether like the two sides of him. It was the love part, it was the mischievous part, but you loved every second with it. You tried not to laugh because you know it was just like, he's going to think it's good to do this. But it's like a puppy. It's just like, you know, teach him bad behavior. And one of my most recent favorite memories was when we went to put this blueberry net over my grandmother's house. And afterwards, we were going to go get lunch. And he didn't want to ride with his family. He wanted to ride with me. So he's like, I'm going to go on Austin's truck. And we were sitting there talking. And he goes, yeah. I don't like David's truck. And if anybody doesn't know, David's truck was actually mine in high school. And he said, it's too loud, it's too annoying, or whatever. And I'm just like, man, you're really, really chopping at the bit here for me, bud. You know, but he liked my new truck, so that's fine. But just, you know, sitting there talking to him about Halloween and all the different things that he had gone in his life. And he just made, you know, my life feel almost secondary at that moment. That's how he always did. You know, and always cherish that thing. Everybody will. So, love you, Jake. Miss you, buddy.
I'm gonna stand away from the mic. I'm a really louder guy. All right. So I got the news. On Saturday. The one time I actually woke up early, trying to get some stuff done in the house. My dad called me. Just pure shock. You know, it's just pure shock for everybody, I think, in general. I sat in the bed, and as soon as I got off the phone off my dad, there's always positive memories that comes out of this. There's always positive of how he lived his life, what he did on a day-to-day basis. sorry. The one story that I want to share with you guys is, you know, is when Jacob and David were, you know, in the bath. Dad and I were sitting on the couch watching probably some sort of car show, something like that. You know, trying to follow in suit. Obviously, it did not go very well. But, you know, him and I are just, you know, sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden we just hear my mom and, you know, David just laughing, and they're just in the bathroom. I'm just like, what is so funny about a bath? Being like 6 years old, I'm like, I don't want to be clean. I want to get dirty. My dad and I open the door, and there's my mom sitting on the toilet, and she's just hysterically crying. and we go over in between the toilet and the counter. And before I know it, I just look over and I see Jacob just go, and he takes his chin and he presses it down. And his trachea was actually out because, you know, got to clean it. But he was making fart noises the whole entire time. You know, being 6 years old and, you know, seeing that, I'm like, that's cool. But, you know, I've definitely had a lot of words, because, you know, I definitely want to come up here and, you know, share a little bit of something, but there's no way that you can summarize Jacob. There is absolutely no way, whether it's good, bad, or mischievous, as a lot of people have been putting it. You know, he's just one heck of a kid, and I can guarantee you he's probably jumping from the top rope right now onto that wrestling mat, you know, with all of his buddies. But I'm gonna miss you, buddy.
Hi, everybody. I hardly know where to begin, you know. My name's Scott. I'm a member here at Baleville. My wife, Debbie, got up to speak. And we've been blessed for many years. I can remember the Sunday Lydia walked in with Jacob up in our chapel, and we met for the first time. And she said, boy, I feel like I'm home here. And we loved him. We love both of you. And over the years, I've seen Jacob. He's always done some fun things. We do a thing here called Wacky Wiffle Ball. And this is our summertime fun night. I don't know how fun it actually is, because what we do is put plastic sheeting on the front lawn out here in front of this building, cover it with soap and water, and then we play wiffle ball. We put little kiddie pools at the bases, and we end up having to actually put people at the corner of the building to keep people from suffering traumatic head injuries. We haven't broken any bones. We've had one near concussion from a kickball to the head. But Jacob, he didn't want to play. What he did was he made the pastor and I, our former pastor James and I, drag him around for probably 20 minutes around the bases. And it was hilarious. He'd stand up, we'd go, okay. And he'd go, no. And he'd want to go back down, and we'd drag him around again. And we go, okay. Now, mind you, I had a torn rotator, and I was doing this. My wife is screaming at me, stop, stop, stop. And every time he would get back up, I think that went on for probably half an hour. But, you know, it was always fun. We say there's a lot in common. And I said, you know, we had Jesus in common. Jacob would tell you all the time. And Lydia, you're right. We couldn't go anywhere. My wife we've been blessed, because Lydia would rely on my wife a little bit to help drive him and pick him up sometimes. And I'd hear the stories. And every once in a while, I'd get to get in on the stories, and it would be stop at Jumbo Land for breakfast. And you walk in, Jacob, 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 Jacob. Everybody knew him. And he could bring anything out of you, because now I'm in a car with somebody who wanted to listen to every Disney music, movie, soundtrack, and I'd find myself singing in a high falsetto, let it go, let it go, and he's laughing hysterically, and we're just having a blast. And, you know, I go, wow, you know, this is just, it just bring it out of you. But then I always laugh, because we had another thing, and I'm deaf in my right ear, and Jacob, he'd be talking to me, and I'd be going, what? And he'd be saying something, and I'd be going, what? What? And we're I just, as he matured, we're standing in the backyard, and he's saying something about beard. And he had a little, and I go, yeah, you have a beard, I have a beard, beard. He goes, no, beard. He goes, beard, beard. And I'm going, no, you have a beard, I have a beard. And then I realized he was asking for a beer. And I said, I don't think your mother wants me to give you any beer today. We'll just have to let that one go. But, you know, it was the same every Sunday. We come in, and the first thing I'd say, Jacob, did you have your coffee? And if he didn't have his coffee, I'd know he'd be kind of dozing off a little bit. But once he had his coffee, and then he was up, and he was doing his thing, it was just a joy every Sunday to see him here. Lydia, you know, we're going to miss him. You know, he was not just a fixture here at Baleville. He was a true member, loved by all. And, you know, I could go on forever with all the little stories, our baseball games and our woo-hoos at the minors games. But, you know, just know, and looking around here, knowing how much he was loved. So, thank you so much for bringing him here into our lives. You know, I thought he touched a lot of people here, but when I see this, I know it went so much further. So.
Is there anyone else that would like to share? I know there's a lot of memories that any of you could share and will be sharing in days and weeks and years to come with the family. I just wanted to share a couple things before we sing a couple songs that Jacob loved. And Jacob helped out here on Friday evenings with our kids club. And him and I were in the back sound booth, and we would I would be doing the slides for the PowerPoint, and he would be kind of next to me. And I didn't realize that he was an aspiring DJ, because he would put on those headphones, no matter how loud the volume was, get those things on, and then every once in a while I'd look back at him, and he would be pretending to spin records. And just, you know, his smile. I looked forward to seeing that smile. I also remember he, as Scott mentioned about his beard, I was in the sound booth and he was like, hey, Brian, Brian. And I looked over at him and he just went. I looked forward to seeing that smile every Sunday when he would be here. And there were times that he would simply just come up front and stand next to me while we're singing praise songs. I remember one time specifically when I was so encouraged by Jacob. I had a lot on my mind. We were singing praise songs. I was standing here, had my eyes closed. And all of a sudden, I felt someone next to me, and it was Jacob. He came up front, seemed to sneak right up there next to me. We were able to spend that moment together, lifting our arms in praise. I think we have a picture of it. Such an encouragement. We were united in praise to Jesus. You know, it was no secret that Jacob loved music. In fact, that YMCA video, I think, is going viral right now. And the first song we sang this morning was one of Jacob's favorite songs, A Living Hope. And it's a song that so clearly lays out the gospel. It's one I just wanted to share quickly with you and just review a couple of the lines from it. The first two lines, how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. See, those first two lines of this song communicate something very important, that God is holy and he is perfect and we are sinful and in need of him. How high a mountain I could not climb. Turning to Jesus involves acknowledging that you're a sinner and being completely unable in and of yourselves to get to him, to climb that mountain. See, the Bible says it like this in Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, each one of us. The second, or line 3 and 4 of the first verse says, in desperation, I turned to heaven and I spoke your name into the night, realizing that I can't cross that chasm myself, my own strength. He spoke Christ's name because no other name would do. Acts 4:2 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And the last few lines of that first verse introduce the heart of the gospel. I'll just highlight where it says, the work is finished. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. The finished work of Jesus. And that highlights Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We had nothing to offer him. And he offered it all, his son. That second verse of the song talks about, without the shedding of Christ's blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And it refers to God's adoption of us as his sons and his daughters. And that's what Jacob is experiencing right now. The sonship. The inheritance of that eternal kingdom. And the last verse of that song, Living Hope, says, then came the morning and sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, which refers to the resurrection of Jesus. See, Christ's resurrection gives us hope of a life beyond the grave. And that's the reason why this song was so meaningful to Jacob, because he believed it. He had a personal relationship with Jesus. Jacob trusted Jesus as his Savior on September 12th, 2021. And actually, it's back there, right underneath the cross, his testimony, which we went through together before he was baptized. And I'm just going to read it. Saturday or Sunday, September 12th, during church service, something miraculous happened. This is Lydia writing this. As we were in the congregational corporate prayer, Jacob started to cry. As we flowed into the Lord's Prayer, he began sobbing uncontrollably. As I tried to comfort him, pictures were being shown on the screen of recent baptisms, and Jacob was inconsolable. I know in my heart and soul, the Lord gave me the words that flowed from my mouth when I said, Jacob, you know Jesus loves you. And Jacob said, yes. And Lydia said, you know, Jesus can help you. And Jacob said, yes. And Lydia said, do you accept Jesus into your heart? And Jacob said, yes. I started crying tears of joy, she said. And all Jacob wanted to do was run up to Pastor Brian and keep raising his hand. He was so excited to share. See, it's because Jesus is alive that Jacob is alive in heaven. Lydia wore a t-shirt when we met to plan the service. Very significant. It says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And it's because Jesus lives. He's a risen Savior. And she's comforting others with the comfort that she has received in Christ. I got a call from her yesterday morning. What an encouragement. She was talking about the service and what Jacob would want to share. She was talking about how concerned Jacob was about his family. He wanted them to trust Jesus. That people should turn to Jesus because that's what fuels her purpose. And so what we're called to is a life of repentance. And that word repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. Turning from sin and turning to Jesus. Recognizing we can do nothing ourselves. That it's God's grace. Unmerited favor. That song, Living Hope, was probably based off of 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. And I'm going to close by reading this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That is what Jacob is experiencing. That we're to turn to Jesus. When we sat in my office, I remember Jacob just saying how Jacob could say it. Jesus is my king. And Lydia, so encouraging, said, God didn't take Jacob from us. He brought him home. And so I'd encourage you this morning this afternoon to turn to Jesus, to make him your king. I'm going to close in prayer. And as I do, I'm going to just pray. If you'd like to pray this prayer or a prayer like it, you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this time we can be here, that we can be comforting others, that we can be together coming alongside this family who has really went through, has been devastated through this. But Lord, looking to you for hope and strength, knowing that Jacob is with you. And Lord, we just, at this moment, if we would like to, we take a moment right now and admit that we are sinners. We say in our own words, Lord, I am a sinner. That we've sinned against the holy God and we deserve eternal punishment. But recognizing in grace, you sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. You say, I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I ask you to be my Savior. And I desire to be obedient to your word. Thank you for saving me from my sins and giving me an eternal hope, a living hope. And Father, we do thank you. And if there's anyone this morning that prayed that prayer, we pray, Lord, that you would be working, continue to work in their hearts, that they would trust in you as their living hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if anyone did pray that prayer and would like to talk after the service, I would be happy to talk with you. Please share it. Feel free to share that with Lydia. She would be so encouraged in the family. But I do want to just mention a couple things as we get ready to close with two songs. The first is just that I would encourage you, we have some resources in the back, feel free to take them. If you need a Bible, please take a Bible. We have Gospel of John's in the back that we want to offer to anyone that would like one. But I'm going to, before we sing these songs, I'm going to read something that I read to the family when we met together to close our time. And it's from Psalm 23, a psalm that many people have went to for comfort and strength in tough and difficult times. But there's some words that are included in here that help us see how powerful this psalm really is. And so I'm going to read it. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside still waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For you are with me. That's faithfulness. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. You prepare a table before in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. You anoint my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup overflows. That's abundance. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. That's eternity. That is what Jacob is experiencing. Let's pray together as we close. Father God, we do thank you so much for this opportunity this morning and into the afternoon to be able to lift up your name, Lord, to praise you, give you all the praise and glory, Lord, as we consider Jacob's life. And we hold on to the promises we find in your word of eternal life. And so we just ask that you'd be with the family in the days and weeks, months and years ahead, Lord, that they would continue to look to you for direction and guidance and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.